Well, yeah, we're paying attention to the weather for the Park Point Art Fair because it's Art Week. KUMD, the official radio station of the 47th annual Park Point Art Fair. And Gregory Michaels in the studio with us this morning. I just met him a minute ago, and we had a conversation for about 3 minutes, and I've got about six different areas of inquiry now to ask you about. Well, let's kind of concentrate. Well, first of all, you and your wife have been here for about 4 years. And so you've traveled all over the world, or at least all over. Well, you said you were
not enough of the world, but yeah, we've traveled.
Well, you said
around.
A military family too, growing up, and so yeah. You've done a lot of traveling, and you looked at me kind of pensively, and you said, you know, I wish people would see Duluth more often with fresh eyes. Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, in the late 70s, my wife and I started out our lives together in Minneapolis and worked there for a few years, and. Duluth at that point was the kind of place you went through on the way up to Gooseberry Falls or the Boundary Waters, and that's kind of what we remember it as being. But coming back here 4 years ago from Denver, and the first conversation you have with anybody is, you're from Colorado. Why Duluth? Well, because Duluth is green, and it's gorgeous, and you look at the lake and. Go down to Park Point and you look up the beach back at the city. And honestly, it's looking like, it looks like a little mini version of San Francisco.
It does. It's got the fog. It's got the hills.
The seagulls. It doesn't have the saltwater smell.
No.
It's got everything else.
And those wimps act like driving there is a big deal. We do. It's like Ginger Rogers did it backwards in high heels. We do it in the wintertime, sliding down those hills at 45 miles an hour.
Now, winters were a little... I'm still getting used to winters. It's just a little bit harsh.
Colorado's got a lot of snow, though. I mean, you guys get socked with snow every time you turn around.
It's actually fairly mild. The snow isn't that great. You have occasional really bad storms, but when it's been 70... 80, 90 degrees in Denver now for 3 months. We're still looking at...
Okay, so it's like lots and lots of snow, but the temperatures aren't as brutal.
Yeah,
so.
And it fluctuates a lot. But it's... Honestly, my recollection of Minneapolis in the 70s, Duluth right now is much milder than Minneapolis was 40 years ago.
Yeah, there's the temperature change. It's something that, you know, people of a certain age,
yeah,
we can kinda remember.
You
do indeed.
It sounds like it makes you sound really dated and old, but it's,
no, it does not. It makes us sound experienced and smart.
I'll go with that.
Thank you. So let's talk about this whole art thing. So, you know, all the big, you know, some big changes and okay, we've raised the kids and they're out of here. We're going to go to Duluth and we're going to start over again. And you say to yourself, I've been an illustrator. I think this morning I'm going to do metal sculpture. How did that come about?
You know, it was 30 years as an illustrator. I frankly was getting a little burned out on it. And, I had an opportunity to pick up a welder, and I thought, you know what, let's just try something different. And I was basically going to use it to work on my car. That was my excuse, my rationale. And I started making little sculptures with the thing and realized that here's this whole different venue that I haven't explored. I was, for 30 years, thinking in three dimensions anyway. And anybody that works two-dimensionally, painting or watercolor, whatever, you're still mentally thinking in three dimensions to accurately do what you're trying to do. So for me, it was a very easy transition. The learning curve went really fast for me and really re-energized my creative spirit a little bit. And and you can make stuff that doesn't break. It'll fall over and you don't have to worry about something breaking off. So
it may take something else down with it when it goes.
Possibly.
Well, I'm wondering about that when you touched on that, it re-energized your creative spirit. Sometimes when you do a job, whatever the job might be, illustration, you do it for a long time and then, I don't know, sometimes you get sent to a training, or sometimes in your case, you pick up a different medium altogether. And when you fall in love with your work again, it's really kind of magical. What was that like for you?
It was like opening another door for, for one thing, for actually being able to express myself without a client telling me what they wanted. And that was a real first for me. I'd done painting for myself in the past, but just to, at the end of the year, you have to do something for yourself to feel
well,
like.
Well, you do, but you don't necessarily create art, make art, all day for 8 hours a day, and then come home and say, "Man, let me at it. I want to make some more art."
Yeah, and this is it, and that's exactly how it was. And this was just such a different venue for me that. And working in the three dimensions was such a different thing for me that everything kind of cascaded at that point, and I've just been exploring it and getting my inspiration from everything from ancient culture petroglyphs to the shape of a piece of metal. I mean, if you were to look at one of my pieces and go, "Gee, what inspired that?" I'd go, if I told you what inspired this very complicated looking thing, I go, I just had this piece of metal sitting there for 3 months, and I'd look at it, and eventually something pops up and goes, "Gosh, that would be really neat. I'll do a takeoff on my interpretation of the Super Collider,"
right?
some oddball
sure.
thing. It just comes together, and it's very spontaneous, actually, more so than as an illustrator. You would be doing the same piece of art for a client 10 times until you got the end product, and then it was just an exercise in technique. And but at that point, you were just so tired you want to go on to the next job. This stuff is very spontaneous, and things just kind of happen, and you put them together, and you go, "Wow, that's neat." And
if you don't like it,
that's what grinders and hacksaws are for.
Exactly. And now, tell me this: with a little perspective now, having worked as a person with a client for all these years, do you ever say to yourself, "Gosh, I wish I'd tried to be an artist for me. I wish I had tried to make a living as an artist. Perhaps doing my own thing instead of choosing to make art for other people all those years."
Well, when I have moments like that, and both of my children, my daughters they're adults now, and they're both talented and creative, and they're both involved in the arts. They're starting out that way, and for me, there is a certain aspect of being an illustrator that you have to. You're wearing your creativity on your sleeve, basically, and it takes a piece of your heart when you're doing something for somebody else in that way, and it's not all totally your own. They saw that growing up, and I see them trying to balance, how can I be creative and not be commercial, or not give something up creatively to sell my work, even on a fine art kind of basis. Even fine art is commercial. You're still compromising.
Well, there becomes the whole issue of, people have said to me for years, "You love to read. You should have a bookstore." And I say, what does being a business person and running a business have to do with liking to read? Because I do like to read, but I would be lousy at business.
Yeah,
and artists have to manage money, and they have to have things like health insurance and all those other boring grown-up things.
There's a practical side, The practical side for me starting out was, from early on in school, if you want to make money as an artist, you're going to be an illustrator. And the only other people that I went to school with that continued on with the profession were illustrators. The ones that were into the other arts, what were considered the fine arts, it was something they didn't continue with. I think it was just a little maybe too difficult or...
They wanted to eat.
Reason.
I mean, it's
yeah.
always some lame excuse, like, "I wanted to eat, I wanted to have a place to live."
So being a commercial illustrator was more lucrative. And
but think about the books you're going to be able to make for your grandkids. Eventually. You look a little panicked, eventually.
Well, you know, when I have moments of, gosh, I wish I had started out 30 years ago, 40 years ago, in a different direction, what being an illustrator for me did was force me to become very versatile. And I had a chance to do children's magazine, children's book illustration, things I would do for my kids when they were little, and go, here's this magazine, and here's a story that I illustrated in it, and so I could share that with them to a certain degree. And but it was easier for me to compartmentalize the spirit of being an artist with being a commercial artist.
You're certainly, what a wonderful school it was for you for all those years. The different, like you mentioned, the versatility.
You had to be very versatile, yeah.
And so you really stretched, and now, in semi-retirement, whatever, you get to reap the benefits of that. Do what you want to do.
And I think for me anyway, the time of my life right now, I almost needed that kind of, that much background just to get up to lead up to what I want to do now. And I wouldn't have had the experience 10 years ago even to go, gee, I've got enough skill or enough of an idea of what I want to create to go ahead in a different direction. And now even my kids tell me I do, and this is something you talk about Duluth and about the weather, and I'm still struggling with the fact that I do my sculpture in an unheated space. My sculpture shuts down when it's too cold. When my fingertips freeze in the wintertime, I have to come inside and paint. And so I have to completely switch off and to start doing things indoors and start painting. So I still paint, but now it's so many months out of the year. And my kids tell me, they go, gee, Dad, your painting really is getting better. And I see that too.
My and how old are your kids?
30 and about 28, almost 29.
Okay, so they've kind of.
I shouldn't call them kids.
I was going to say they've kind of outgrown. I was wondering, because there are times when in a young person's life where they really do have all the answers, and if they say your painting's getting better, then they ought to know, because they know everything.
They've
outgrown that a little bit. But
I think they're a little more. I think now they're a little more experienced in the world that they've done
themselves. They don't have quite all the answers.
Yeah.
One last question before I let you go: is this your first Park Point Art Fair?
Actually, this is my debut art fair.
Wow!
Completely, I've never shown in a art fair setting. Primarily it's been through galleries, and I just hand the work off to them and say, deal with everything
or
else.
Hand to the client or whatever. Are you scared?
So, not scared, but I was so naive going into it. I didn't realize that anybody that does these art fairs, besides being a good artist, to be accepted to a certain degree, you have to be a store designer. You have to be a display designer.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be a business person. That basically your store is 10 feet by 10 feet.
Uh-huh.
That kind of caught me off guard a little bit.
Have cookies or chocolate.
I'll have it's all metal and rusty metal, so I'll have handy wipes and
snacks.
Band-aids.
There you go. Snacks, handy wipes, band-aids. Look for that booth. Well, this is really exciting. I'm excited. What you say to artists. You say to actors, break a leg. So, weld something beautiful. I don't know. How do you say good luck to a sculptor?
Good luck is good enough. It's a great venue. I love Park Point. We've gone down there every year since we've lived here and bought something. As an artist buying another artist's work, that should say something about the work down there. It's really neat. It's neat work, and there's something for everybody to see.
Have a ball. And if anybody says anything mean, just stand there and look at them and let one tear roll down your cheek.
It couldn't be anything worse than what my kids have told me.
And they will be so embarrassed. They will never be mean to artists again.
I can cry on demand if I have to.
Oh, I love that. Greg, thanks so much for
joining us this morning. It's nice to put a face behind the voice finally.
Gregory Michael, our guest this morning. His not only first Park Point Art Fair, but his first art fair, period. So be nice to him. Look for the booth with the cool sculpture, the wet wipes, the Band-Aids, and maybe some snacks.